All right, are you there, David?
I am, yes.
All right, good. So I'm back now. And thank you for your patience. And thank you for calling back.
Of course.
And I guess your timing is good. I was just getting ready to go out, but I'm sitting at my desk now, and this is probably as good a time as any. I could have spent probably about 3 hours preparing for your call, and I decided not to. I hope you don't mind.
Please.
I wanted to find out a little bit about you and the organization first before I spent too much time narrowing down the focus of what my question would be. I think the first question I want to ask you is, have you listened to the recorded message that I would have listened to when I called? I got a recorded message that went pretty fast, and I wonder if you've ever listened to that. Have you?
I haven't myself. I'd let you know, as with many of the people here at SHIP, I'm a volunteer.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Keep going.
I'm a volunteer. I had experience with getting assistance from SHIP when I was first eligible for Medicare. And after that experience and some other situations that I went through, I was given the opportunity to become a volunteer, and which is what I've been doing now for the last 3 years.
All right, so good.
Fully trained in the same way as our paid employees of SHIP. SHIP being a state health insurance assistance program. There are SHIPs in every state of the country. Okay, each state though is independently worked. Here in Colorado, and there are SHIPs in different groups of counties. The one here in the Denver area is part of the Denver area agency for the aged. Okay, and SHIP is specifically designed, okay, to provide assistance with Medicare and associated issues.
All right, good. So you've been doing it for 3 years, and you had a good experience with it when you needed some help. And now you're trying to, I guess, pay it back, pay it forward, I guess, maybe. Would that be a good way to describe it?
Yeah, that's correct. I appreciate the
wonderful
opportunity.
And do you have a background in healthcare at all? Are you a doctor or any kind of healthcare provider at all?
No, I'm not. I'm strictly a user of healthcare.
All right. What about bureaucracy? Do you have any kind of background in that? That's maybe a key feature that might be helpful to me.
Well, I worked for 40 years in corporate America and before I retired. And so I do have a good experience with bureaucracies because, of course, with large corporations, there are massive bureaucracies.
Yeah. All right.
I say my initial time with Medicare, I got assistance and I dealt with the bureaucracies of insurance companies at that point in time.
Yeah, all right. Very good. So, did you listen to my recorded message? What I had to say? Did you listen to that or no?
I didn't listen to it directly. One of my colleagues goes through the recorded messages, and what was recorded was your date of birth and your address as requested.
Right.
And also said that there was a question about vaccines that
yes.
may it may be a very long discussion to be able to explain what it is you need assistance with. And you have a letter also that may be discussed. And as I said, I have as much time as you need.
All right. Very, very good.
Assistance with you, with whatever the question is that you have.
All right. So, I've got actually a number of different issues going on, and they kind of bleed into each other. But I thought the vaccine one might be a good place to start with. I do have a letter. It's published on the internet. If you happen to be sitting in front of a computer, we could perhaps have you pull it up on your computer, and we could...
I can do that.
All right. Let's see if I can find it. And then once I'm looking at it, I can tell you how to find it.
Okay.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, see, yeah, there it is. So it is, I'm just going to say it real fast, and then I'll go back and say it slowly. Do you have a pen and paper in front of you? Or
I do.
Okay, all right. So, again, I'll just go through it fast once so that you'll get the general idea, and then I'll go back and do it slowly. So it's https://www. And then mkgappraisal.com/letter2023_01.htm. And that's the whole thing.
So what I got was it's, other than the common stuff at the beginning, it was MKG
appraisal. MKG appraisal.
Singular appraisal.com /letter2023_01.htm. Okay, let me type that in and we'll see where
right.
it comes. Now this is I know that you're having looked at your previous contacts with us, that that's where your email address is also, right?
Yeah. Yes, I do have an email. Yes. And I do think that I did try to contact and do something with SHIP once before, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, maybe.
That's correct. We still have the record of that. What we at the end of each call, whoever takes the call, takes notes, okay, of your demographic information, because the state likes to know who it is that they're helping. And also, we could take a record of what the prior discussion was about. And I will be doing one of those after we finish talking today.
All right, good.
So I got an error when I tried that, okay? I got an error from MKG Appraisal Services that says, file not found. Okay, the page you're looking for has vanished. So I got that. So I got /letter2023_01.htm, right? I got it. No, I needed to put the HTM in. I didn't do that. And I have it. Vaccine letter 01 right in front of me.
All right, good. And there's a picture of a house off to the right. Is that right?
That's right. Yep. Vaccine letter 01 to CVS Carmark.
All right. And then the letter's dated 5/31/23, correct?
That's correct, yep.
All right. So why don't I just kind of let you read it, and when you get done, let me know. It's not that long. It shouldn't take you that long.
Right, I got it. I'm reading it. Okay. Okay, so this was directed to CBS Caremark. It suggests that you have a Part D plan. Is that part of a...
Wait a minute. You're getting hung up on the details here. Read all the way to the end, and then we'll talk about the details.
I've read all the way to the end.
Okay, good. All right, good.
And I understand the situation. I know about the Medicare rules that came into force earlier this year. Okay. Regarding vaccines, I received a similar letter myself.
All right.
Okay. But I need to know, in order to understand that you sent this to CVS Caremark and you reference Aetna, I need to understand a little bit about your coverage. Okay. Do you have an Advantage plan with Medicare?
I believe the answer to that is yes. Bear in mind, if you think of me as pretty much a complete idiot about the questions that you're asking, you'll be about right. That's part of the reason I called SHIP is because that's one of the areas I need help in. I'm hoping you can provide that help. But, I think the answer is yes. I have an Aetna. Let's see. Bear with me. I think maybe I've got my policy pulled up here. I think I can pull it right up here.
Well, before that, in a simpler way, do you have your card?
I don't have that quite handy, but if you just bear with me 1 second,
okay.
I'm going to pull it right up here. I've got evidence of coverage, Aetna, your blah, 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 document details, your Medicare, health care, and prescription drug coverage. Questions, please, annual plan.
Okay.
So it's Aetna Medicare Premier Plus One PPO life insurance coverage. So does that answer your question? I mean, this is the document.
Okay, so it's Premier Plus One PPO, you said.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay, got it. Okay, so that's an Advantage plan, I believe. I'm just checking on that to make sure we have it correct. And it should, because if you either have to have an Advantage plan which includes Part D coverage,
it includes Part D coverage, yes.
It does, yes. So that must be, and then I believe Advantage plan. Just let me do a little bit of research. If you give me a moment here.
Your plan premium cost sharing, your medical and prescription drug benefits, how to file a complaint, how to contact us, blah, blah, blah. So, introduction, important phone numbers,
so
using
the
plan,
Medicare.
Medical benefits chart, using the plan's coverage for your Part D prescription drugs, Chapter 5, what you pay for your Part D prescription drugs. Asking us to pay our share of a bill you have received, medical services or drugs, your rights and responsibilities. Okay, all right.
Okay, got it. All right.
Okay.
Clear enough, yes.
Maybe that's more of an answer than you bargained for, but that's what I've been looking at lately.
That's fine. All right. You're being very comprehensive, and I appreciate that.
All right.
Okay.
So I think I made a mistake sending it to CVS Caremark, but later on, I wound up sending a copy to Mark Bertoloni, I might have pronounced that wrong, who is the president of Aetna.
Okay.
I could have sent it to Mark Bertoloni in the first place. I thought that Karen Lynch was the president of the company at the time I sent the letter, and I think I was wrong about that. I intended to send it to the person that was kind of in charge, the head person in charge. And part of the problem I had was I was asking who's in charge, and I could not get a straight answer to that question. I called the phone number on my insurance card, the customer service number on my insurance card, and I said, would you please tell me the name and the mailing address of the president of the company? And they would not or could not do it. They either didn't know or wouldn't tell me, one or the other. It was amazing to me how I could not get an answer to that question.
Right. So I just want to get clear on what you listed in here. Okay. So you authorized Kroger to submit. Okay. And is
if I may, the gist of this letter is, I got an email. Actually, what happened is, I went and got a vaccine, a shot. It came in the form of a shot. Two shots, actually, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One shot, and then you come back literally 30 days later, and you get the second shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the vaccine, the hepatitis B vaccine. And then shortly after I got the second shot, I got an email from Medicare.gov that said, Medicare says, at least that's the way I interpreted the email, you can get this vaccine and Medicare picks up the tab for it. You're entitled to get this vaccine, and it's at no cost to you. Medicare will pick up the tab for it. That's what I interpreted the email to say.
Yep.
And, by the way, I got nothing but drag your feet. My insurance company, Aetna, refused to pay. It was just waiting around, wasting my time. They would not pay. Now, it was delays and problems at the first shot, but I did walk away after delays on the first shot, and that's all it was just lengthy delays on the first shot. I got the shot at my King Supers Pharmacy, and so I walked away kind of angry about lengthy delays, but that's all it was. And then for this, as after about 2 weeks had gone by, I got a letter from Aetna. It was this formulary letter that there's a copy of it here. If you click on it, you'll be able to read it. And the formulary letter was, as far as I was concerned, was just gobbledygook that said, in their bureaucratic gobbledygook says, we're not going to pay. And if you think we're wrong, then you can go through these steps, and they give you the steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's what you have to do if you think we're wrong. And they've got the formulary letter and blah, blah, blah. And I took the formulary letter and took it to the manager at the pharmacy, who was the one who had given me the shot at the shot. He was the guy who had given me the shot. And I put it in writing. I wrote a memo to him and said, in essence, I don't know what to make of this. Can you help me? What should I do? And that memo to him, along with the formulary letter, is included right here. You can read it for yourself. And, I waited a week, and I got no response from the manager at the pharmacy. And so I asked him, did you get my memo? Did you read it? What do you have to say? And the response I got from him was, he just said, I don't know. I didn't have time. I don't know. And I said, well, I'm supposed to get the second shot 30 days later. That's coming up here in 2 or 3 days. My plan is to come back on day 30 to get the second shot. What do you think we should do? And he said, I don't know. Come back on that day, and I don't know. That's all I could get out of him. He was no help at all. So I came back on day 30 to get the shot. He gave me the shot. And it seems to me maybe what they said on day 30 was that the manager wasn't there that day. I should come back the next day. So I wound up coming back the next day. I seem to recall that's what happened. So when I came back the next day, lo and behold, the manager was there, and there was like a powwow. There was like three or four people, the grocery store manager and the it was literally three or four people from the grocery store were there, and I was just kind of stunned at how the grocery store responded. I wound up getting the second shot, and my conclusion was that Aetna refused to pay. And while in the overall scheme of things, I could not complain too much at how I got treated, I thought, I don't know if I want to just accept this or not. And so I wound up writing this letter. And if you read the letter, I think it speaks for itself. And I asked Aetna to, you know, I said, it looks to me like you're required by law to pay, I think is what I told him. And it looks to me like you refuse to pay. So I want you to either prove to me that you paid or pay, you know. What the heck? What the heck are you doing here? Give me some kind of response here. And so it was just crazy the kind of I've gotten two or three responses from them, and it's hard for me to interpret the responses I've gotten from them. I recently got another email from Medicare.gov, and it just came. It came just about the day that I was starting to write a letter to the government, asking them, "What the heck did you really mean it when you sent me that first email?" Mm-hmm. And the second email, did I post that somewhere here or not? I may need to send it to you. I may need to look it up. But basically what the second email says is, it looks like almost exactly like the first email. Have you looked at the first email? Have you seen it? It's an attachment here. Let's see if I can find it, including all the
exhibits. The first thing I've done is I've started looking at the documents that you attached to that first letter in order, okay? I've just read the formulary letter, okay, dated 3/14, okay, from Aetna. I've also looked at the Medicare instructions on Medicare.gov regarding hepatitis B, and I have a couple of questions, okay, for you about what I read in those two things.
Do you want to do that now? Do you want me to show you how to read the email? Do you want to interrupt me, or do you want me to interrupt you? Which do you want to do first?
Well, I'm trying to do things in order, calendar order, so that I can understand the flow of what's happened here. Okay, and I started doing it in order, and as a result, okay, I have some questions about the early things that I've read. So that's why but if you prefer us to look at some other information at this point in time, we can do it that way also.
Well, I I gave you the choice. I think it's going to make more sense to you if you read this government email first. I think that was the first thing that happened, but maybe
that
not.
Was that the one dated 4/18/23?
Correct. Have you read that?
I have not read it yet, but I can open it and look at it right now. Hold on.
Okay. I'm looking at it now.
This was dated 4/19, 4/18.
4/18.
Okay. Right.
This is kind of a key document here.
Well, it is, except for the fact that the date is important. It
did come afterwards, but I kind of pretended
exactly.
that it came first. I kind of pretended that.
Well, it didn't. Okay.
Even though it didn't.
So that's important. The order is important. Okay.
All right.
So I understand that. I know what the letter says. I'm familiar with the new Medicare.gov coverage for vaccines. Okay. The prescription drug law that went into effect this year. Okay. It didn't go into effect until around about the date of this letter. Okay. And so.
All right. So the key statement here is examples of vaccines now covered under Medicare Part D include, and they start with shingles, and then the last one on the list that almost looks like it got added as an afterthought at the last minute, hepatitis B, which is the one that I got.
Understood.
All right. Now,
yeah.
I took it to mean that even though the email got sent April 18th or whatever it was, that as far as I was concerned, it was covered effective the first of the year.
I think that's where there is a disconnect. I'm just checking
And that doesn't mean that Aetna was expected to know that it was effective the first of the year.
It did go into effect on January the 1st.
But be that as it may, April 18th is when the email went out, and I believe that's when I got it. It was either the 18th or the 19th, one or the other, and that was after I got the shot. No, I get that, but hepatitis B, okay?
Yeah, it's included subject to certain conditions.
But the email didn't say that. This email didn't say that. Now I've got another one since then. I just recently got a second email that did say subject to certain conditions. This one just said hepatitis B. Made it look like not subject to certain conditions. This one gave me the idea that it was an unconditional. That was the idea that I got when I read the email.
Mm-hmm.
And I did do some additional research, and the additional research that I did made it look to me like maybe there were some additional conditions, but it was hard for me to tell, and I wondered what the heck was going on and how the heck I could find out and who I needed to ask and what to make of the gobbledygook I was getting from Aetna. Because I couldn't make any sense out of what Aetna was saying,
mm-hmm.
but it sure looked to me like what the government was saying, hepatitis B and not subject to any qualifications or conditions, just hepatitis B. You're covered. Now
so
covers.
So there's a difference, if I may, Phil.
Go ahead.
Okay. There's a difference between coverage of a vaccine and it being paid by Medicare and whether or not you are qualified to get the vaccine. Okay? That's an important aspect of what we need to talk about here.
All right. So I think what you're telling me is that I should have known that they weren't telling me that it was unconditional and that I should have known better. And what I'm saying is I didn't know better.
That's why we want you to go back to things in order.
All right. So let's go back to your questions then.
So you, before you knew anything about Medicare paying for vaccines, okay, you received a letter after your first shot of the vaccine from Aetna, correct?
Yes, now, after the first shot.
But
before the second shot,
right,
I got the formulary letter, and I can almost for sure tell you that you've answered my question. That if you're gonna say that first email, they didn't even need to say in that email that there were qualifications, that it was up to me to know that there were qualifications, and that
it's my own damn fault.
However, they
didn't say that, but they did say something which was important about what you needed to do before any continued treatment from that vaccine. Okay.
In the email they said it?
No, it wasn't an email. This was a letter that they sent you dated, dated March 14th, which you received on the 18th. Okay.
You're talking about, wait a minute, who? What letter are you talking about? The formulary letter?
The Aetna formulary letter.
Okay, all right.
14th of March, which you say you received on the 18th of March.
Right, all right. So,
okay.
And again, I'm gonna just say, just 100%, without any, we don't need to even go down that road at all. That if you're gonna say that what Aetna sent me was that my position is that all of that was worthless. So if you're going to say, well, they told you here and you could have done this, and if you just followed those instructions and believe what they told you, that was okay, if you're going to say that was all okay, then we probably don't even need to do that, because my position from the beginning was that the email said that everything that they said was just full of crap. So if you're saying, no, the formulary thing that was their point of view that the formulary thing was right, and that, see, I'm thinking, for example, that I wondered about the fact that it's not on the formulary now, and I said to myself, Is it correct that it's not on the formulary now or not? And I can tell that you're going down the path of telling me that it's correct that it's not on the formulary now, and that they've followed the instructions for whatever gobbledygook of all the see, I don't claim to be able to follow and decipher all this stuff, but Aetna has, and again, when I got the second email from Medicare.gov that said, you can get the hepatitis B vaccine, but or with some conditions. And again, I had done the research, and I remember what it said, and I have to go back to my prescriber, and my prescriber is going to have to sign off on something. And see, here's the rub. My prescriber is, oh, by the way, the chief medical officer at the Kroger Corporation. The chief medical officer at the Kroger Corporation. Now I'm trying to get the mailing address for him. Aetna sent me a letter that said that they had tried to contact my prescriber. They had made repeated attempts, multiple attempts, I think was the word they used, multiple attempts to contact my prescriber and gotten no response, and therefore they're not going to be whatever. You know, as far as they're concerned, I have no standing to complain. It's going to be up to me to get that straightened out. And so I wrote them a letter that said, well, okay, fine. You say you made multiple attempts, but what exactly does that mean? Did you call? Did you write a letter? If you wrote a letter, what address did you send it to? And what dates did you send them? Can I have a copy of those letters? Or will you at least tell me the address that you sent them to? And I fully expect that the response that I'm going to get to my letter that I sent to Aetna is no response at all. What do you think? Do you think they're going to respond to my letter or not?
I'm afraid we're in a place which is unfortunate, but and the reason is, okay, that there was a disconnect early on between yourselves and Aetna because of the fact that you did not follow the direction that they provided to you in the first letter they sent to you after that you received the first shot of the vaccine. And because of that, okay, because you did not follow those directions, okay, which would have enabled Aetna to provide coverage to you for after the first shot. And I, as I understand it, they've paid a share of the first shot, okay. They were absolutely clear, and I'm reading the letter, okay, and then what you needed to do if you wish to get a second shot. Okay, because it says that this was a temporary supply for the first 30 days only, okay, and it's covered, even though it's not in our formulary, we'll cover it on that basis, okay, and what you need to do, okay, is to get your medical condition, okay, to get an exception, so And they have a choice. This prescriber has another drug, which they do cover. All right. If you ask for an exception, you've got to get a statement as to why. And I believe in this case, okay, because Medicare.gov has limitations on who can receive the hepatitis B. Okay, you need to get that request for an exception from your doctor, not the prescriber, because you have to have the doctor confirm that you meet the Medicare reasons for having to have the hepatitis B vaccination.
So what you're doing is you're reading the instructions, and I read through those very carefully too. I had a question. They said they would provide a 30-day supply. I wondered if I had gone for the second shot on day 29, for example, and just said, give me the second shot at day 29, would they have covered it?
No, because the first shot is a 30-day supply. Okay. I think that's being rather.
You're saying the first shot is a 30-day supply.
It is, yeah, clearly. That's why they don't have the second shot until after 30 days. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, okay. I that wasn't clear to me. I understand that that's the way to look at it now. All right. Nobody explained that to me. All right.
That's the first thing. The next thing, okay, is for the hepatitis B, okay, what have you looked at what Medicare.gov? I believe you access Medicare.gov, right? And you get letters from them and stuff like that. And if you look at Medicare.gov regarding hepatitis B shots, it says it covers those shots if you're at medium or high risk for hepatitis B. Have you looked at that, and do you qualify as medium and high risk for hepatitis B?
I came to the conclusion that in order to qualify, I would need for my primary care provider to sign something, and that I could almost certainly get my primary care provider to sign something that they would,
but I would need to do it.
Well,
yes, exactly. You would need to do it, okay?
It says but I haven't done it.
Check with your doctor to find out if you're a high or medium risk.
But the point is, prior
to getting the shot, okay?
But the point is, I'm not going to. I think I could do it now and do it retroactively, and I think I could. It would be all right, but I'm not going to. And so it's a moot point. It wouldn't matter.
It's a moot point. Yes, you're right.
There's no point in arguing about it or worrying about it. I'm not sure that my doctor would. My doctor might look at it and say, no, I'm not going to do this. But I'm almost sure that my doctor would. But there are reasons
why it suggests that you should only get the vaccine if you're at medium or high risk, okay? And they qualify that as to what the reasons are, okay?
I read through it, and again, it's already done. So the doctor would not be saying, well, you know, I don't want you to because I think it's a bad idea. It would just be a matter of, this is just for paperwork purpose, but again,
right,
it's all a moot point. It's all done.
Absolutely, it's moot. Okay, I think to kind of summarize where we're at this point in our discussion. Okay, you've agreed. Okay, with what I've understood from that first letter from Aetna. Okay, which says explicitly. Okay, that after that. They're going to cover that first one, but you need to get, support for the reasons why you need to have this second treatment from the prescriber, and you didn't do so. Correct?
Well,
is that correct, Phil? Is that a correct assessment of what this letter says and what you did?
My position was that I was asking Aetna if they had paid, and if they had
after the effect. Okay, what I'm trying to understand. Is at the time you got this letter and read this letter, did you follow the instructions in the letter as you understood them?
I think the answer to that is no. I did not do that.
But that's all we need to know, okay? Because on that basis, all right, you don't have a position for asking Aetna to cover what you did after that, since you did not follow the request that's in the letter, okay? You ignored it and you went ahead, okay? I don't understand why you did that, but the point being that at that point you didn't do what Aetna said you needed to do, and as a result, that's why it has not been covered.
At the time, my thought was that Aetna was wrong, and that the email, I was relying on the email. Now, you've explained to me.
Excuse me, but the email came later, all right? And it came after you had your second shot, right? So you cannot say that at the time you ignored the instructions in the Aetna letter before having your second shot because of the email from Medicare.gov, because the email from Medicare.gov came later, right?
Well, no.
That was not a reason.
I think you're wrong. You're confusing the shot with the payment. At the time I got the shot, is what you're talking about. At the time I wrote the letter, I had already gotten the email.
So at the time of writing the letter, yes. But however, at the time of when you got the email was after you got that second shot and after you ignored what it said in the letter. Okay, so you can't use the email from Medicare.gov as a reason for ignoring what was in the letter because you already ignored it and you already took the action to get the second shot. Correct?
That's correct. I'm not saying.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it was the reason. I'm just saying that it's what happened, and regardless of what the reason was, the email makes it clear that regardless of what the reason was, it was again based on my interpretation of the email, it was Aetna's responsibility to pay for the shot.
You needed the shot because you were medium and high risk, which you did not do.
Again, I read the email to mean that it was Aetna was legally required to pay for the shot.
Actually, only under the conditions of whether or not the shot is applicable for you. It is not applicable for
you. Now, again, you've explained that, and mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that when I read the email, I didn't read it that way. And I'm of the opinion that it's not necessarily my fault for reading it that way. I don't think I can be blamed for reading it that way.
I put it a different way then, Phil. Okay, if you had followed what Aetna said in their letter.
Right.
Prior to the email arriving, okay?
Yes, if I believed Aetna.
It is entirely possible that Aetna would have paid. Okay? But since you didn't, I don't believe that. Unfortunately, that's the way things are. Okay, we can't say, well, after the fact, I didn't do what you said. Okay, and now it turns out that if I get the vaccination for an appropriate reason, okay, which I didn't, okay, that I don't have to pay for it, then I shouldn't have to pay for it. Because you did not follow the reasoning behind either what Medicare says is the reasons you need to have the medication, the vaccination in the first place, and secondly, having had the first vaccination, which Aetna did say that they would cover, okay, temporarily, and then suggested a course of action which you could take to get the second one covered, and you didn't do it. So quite honestly, Phil, I think you kind of boxed yourself into a corner there, didn't you?
So I think what I'm hearing you say is that you have no sympathy for me at all, because if I just followed the instructions that Aetna had sent me, that they would have paid for the vaccine and I'd have lived happily ever after. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know whether that would be true, but the fact is you didn't allow that to be a possibility.
It might have happened.
I don't know. Who knows? Okay.
We'll never know if that would have happened.
Unfortunately, we'll never know. Okay. In the same way that we'll never know whether or not you're at risk for hepatitis, okay, because you haven't qualified.
I did ask the pharmacist. I did write him a memo that said, I don't know what to make of this. Can you help me?
This is after the fact again?
No. When I got the formulary letter from Aetna,
uh-huh.
that's what I did with it. Now, I could have read it carefully and followed the instructions faithfully. That's what you're telling me I should have done. And if I had done that, maybe they would have paid for it.
So, let me ask
what you what I did do with it was I made a copy of it and sent it to the...
Let me ask you a different question then, Phil. When you went for your first shot, that vaccination, okay,
yes.
you paid the whole cost of the vaccination, correct?
I did not. No, I paid them nothing.
You paid them nothing. Okay. When you went for the second shot, okay, did you pay anything?
I'm not going to answer that question. I haven't told you. If you read my letter, I don't say. I'm not answering that question.
Okay, but because I have to say that the prescriber, the pharmacy guy at King Soopers, okay, what they do when they fill a prescription or do a vaccine is that they check, okay, with your insurer as to whether or not it's covered. And if that insurer says it isn't covered, okay, then they say that if you want to have this, you're going to have to pay for it yourself. Now, I don't know because you won't tell me whether or not that happened, but if it did happen, what I'm saying is if it did happen, then at that point in time, you should have, I have to say, realized that you were putting yourself at risk in terms of the cost of this vaccine, especially since you've already said that you know that you ignored what it said in the letter from Aetna. So the prescriber, the pharmacy doctor must have, I'm not sure. That's incorrect. I apologize. I do not think that they would have had prescribed it if they had been doing their job properly without telling you or asking you to pay for it, because they would have known that Aetna was not going to pay for that second shot.
I asked the question in several times if Aetna paid for the first vaccine and what they paid. And I would still like to know. That was one of the questions I was hoping that I could get help from you. And
you opened up to me. I see from these records the fact that you did receive payment of the Aetna share, not the normal share for, or the normal price that they would pay for that vaccine at some time later in the year, right?
What the response that I got from Aetna was that they, they sent me the normal statement that said that I was covered, and they gave me some kind of there was a dollar amount on a statement, but what I wanted to know was.
And you received a check for them. You received a check from them for that amount, right? For the first.
No, not listen to me now. For the first shot, all I got from them was a statement to the effect of, I wished I could remember the exact wording on it, but it was just a statement to the effect that you were covered. And again, I didn't pay anything. And so it was just a statement. I think they call it explanation of benefits. And there is a dollar amount on there. And it was a completely different dollar amount than what King Soopers showed me. King Soopers gave me a cash receipt that had $1 amount, and then Aetna had a completely different dollar amount on the explanation of benefits. But my question is, to Aetna, did you actually pay somebody money for the vaccine on the date that I got the vaccine for the first shot? And if you did, who did you pay and how much did you pay them? And are you prepared to show me proof of payment, a canceled check, or if you didn't pay them with a check, how did you pay them? And are you prepared to show me proof of payment? Because that's not what they showed me at all. They just showed me their typical statement. And that's what they're used to doing, is just the normal paperwork.
So I don't see any copy of that explanation of benefits here in your exhibits.
Okay. I know, and it may not be there right now. Bear with me.
Also, but I do see that on 7/10/23, you received a check from Aetna. Okay, and I suppose the reason that you've included that in your exhibits is that is related to some reimbursement to you for something. Is that correct?
You're getting ahead of me now. You're talking about, that's really about shock two.
Oh, so they did then. So you paid for shot two and they reimbursed you in this amount towards that. Is that correct? So they're trying to help you out here, even though they don't need to, as I understand it.
It gets more confusing.
Let's cut to the chase, Phil. Okay, what is it exactly that you're looking to have happen?
Well, one of the things that I would like to have happen is for Aetna to provide me with the amount that they actually paid and proof of payment for the first shot. And
so you don't have an explanation of benefits relating to that particular prescription?
I do have an explanation of benefits.
And does it say what they paid?
There's a dollar amount there. And if they're claiming that that's what they actually paid, I don't think that that's what they actually paid, but
my experience, with explanation of benefits is if it says this is what we paid, then that is what they paid. Okay.
Well, I don't think it says this is what we paid. Maybe the problem is that I need to be looking at it to see what it actually says.
Right.
And I'm trying to see if I can find it quickly, and I can't. It would probably take me a little while to dig for it. I've got it somewhere, but I don't have it in front of me right now. But I do have it somewhere.
About that, when you get a chance to look at it, Phil, there's two things I want to suggest, okay? First of all, is that if they say this is what we paid, okay, it's going to, an explanation of benefits always talks about, as a minimum, two things. One, this is what we paid. Two, this is what your share of what it costs, if any, okay? So you should be able to see.
It does say that my share is zero.
Good. Okay.
And it doesn't say this is what we paid.
If it says that your share is zero and you didn't pay King Soopers anything for that first shot, then that obviously is covered, okay, with the later email from Medicare that says you will not have to pay for the vaccine. So for the first shot, okay, everything's square, right?
Well, see, that's...
You don't have to pay anything.
Listen to me. That's kind of my point, is I asked them, what did you pay? And they responded with, your share is zero. You're covered for that. And I said, and my point is, well, wait a minute now. My question is, what did you pay? And you've responded with, your share is zero, you're covered. And I said, you didn't answer my question. What did you pay? You didn't answer my question.
I'm surprised because in my experience, explanation of benefits always say what they paid. Okay?
All right, and what I'm telling you is, They didn't answer my question. They did not answer my question. And they certainly didn't provide proof of payment. I specifically said, and it's in this letter here, I want proof of payment, and they certainly didn't provide proof of payment.
Well, and generally they don't, okay? In fact, if King Supers has not come back to you, okay, saying that you owe them for that first swap one, then I'm not understanding what your problem is, okay? It was paid for.
All right.
Okay,
you
didn't have to pay anything, okay? That's exactly what is suggested by the Medicare email. So in that respect, I don't understand why you have a concern.
Well, my concern is you're saying I should wait until somebody comes back to me and then I have a concern? That would be one way to deal with it.
No, because they've already come back to you and said you don't have to pay anything.
No, they haven't.
Explanation of benefits said that you didn't have to, your share was zero, right? So
that's what Aetna says.
That's right. That's what Aetna says. And King Supers has not said that anything different, have they? Saying nothing is the same as saying is not saying anything different.
No, it's not.
I've got a
liability on my balance sheet.
To whom?
It says. To whom? It's a statement that says, I'm liable if anybody comes along it's in this letter here. Bear with me.
Actually, your exclamation benefits, it says that you are not liable. It says that your share is zero. So you're not liable. That is an explicit statement from Aetna that you're not liable for any cost associated with that first vaccination.
Wait a minute now. I authorized Kroger to submit a claim for reimbursement on my behalf to Medicare. If the claim is denied, I understand that I will be responsible for payment.
And it wasn't denied. The letter doesn't say it says doesn't say it was denied. It says that they did cover it. The letter, first letter says that. And your explanation benefit then adds to that by saying you're not liable for anything. So if there's any issue regarding that first shot, it is between Aetna and King Supers and not for yourself. And I know from personal experience that there are cases where a provider...
You're saying that the explanation of benefits is my statement that the claim was not denied. And
right.
I'm saying that that's all well and good for you to say, but you're not an attorney, and I'm not an attorney, and I'm not necessarily accepting that.
Okay. Well, in that case, in order to further that discussion, then you'd have to talk to an attorney, because you're absolutely right. I am not an attorney. I'm only giving you
I'm a certified public accountant, and I'm saying that my balance sheet is carrying a liability, and as far as I'm concerned, there's a claim there that may or may not be denied, and I would like to see proof of payment. I'd like to know. I'd just like them to make a plain English statement. Did they pay, and what did they pay, and will they provide proof of payment? And I don't think that what I got answers that question. I think they avoided an answer to the question. Is what it looked like to me. And I think you and I right now, unfortunately, we're arguing back and forth without really having the correct document in front of us. And it sounds to me like you're arguing for Aetna. It almost sounds like you're an attorney on the side of Aetna. And I'm kind of concerned about that. I would have hoped that you'd be taking my side here.
I'm speaking entirely based on my training and experience, both as myself, a user of Medicare, and also as myself as somebody who works as a volunteer with the state health insurance program. Okay, that's the experience I bring to it. I don't claim to be an attorney. I don't claim to be an expert. Okay, I'm trying to respond to your concerns based on my experience. Okay, I can tell
all right.
you.
So let's get off this entirely. Because you remember I told you I thought I did contact SHIP maybe 2 years ago or approximately 2 years ago.
I read my former colleague's description of
it was about and I could not. But I do kind of remember that I had kind of the same experience where it seemed to me like what happened is that it wasn't so much I guess what I don't remember the details, but I seem to recall that the person on the other side kind of looked at the facts of what I talked about, and they kind of quickly came to the conclusion that they took the side of they thought I was the bad guy, and that's not the right way to say it, but they had no sympathy for me. They just thought, you know, buddy, if this is your complaint, I'm no. And I thought, you know, SHIP was just no help to me at all. But let me address that. And so here we are, we're at, here's what I wanted to, I want to get you to a different web page, and I want to get you to one that I think maybe with just a little bit of luck, you're going to be sympathetic to what I've got to say. It may be that you'll say, sorry, but I'm Medicare, and this is not a Medicare issue, but at least the facts you'll be sympathetic for. So if you'll be patient with me for just a few seconds,
okay.
I'll be able to get you to the right place.
Same website.
All right. So if you want to go along with me, what I'm going to do is I'm up on the where it says letter 2023_01. Here's what I'm doing. If you'll do it with me, we'll both go together. I'm changing it from 01 to 21. Can you do that too?
Hold on. I'm just copying it. Moving to that copy to another page, right? And so you want to change it to what number?
All right, just say 21.
21 instead of 01, okay. Yep.
All right, and now it says movie.
Hold on. Movie, yes, I'm there.
Okay. And now on the left-hand side, there's the, I guess you'd call it red thing there. And at kind of the last one where there's writing, it says 2023 index.
Yep.
Click on 2023 index.
Right.
And again, bear with me. I want to find the right one. So number 18, phone abuse.
Okay.
Let's click on that. With me?
That one. Yep, I'm there.
And now phone abuse, and there's the blue line below that, 8/16/23, phone abuse outline.
Hold on, let me go back. Phone abuse. Where's this phone abuse outline? I'm at dot 18. underscore 18 actually, okay, with the phone abuse title at the top of the page. Okay, where do you want me to go from there?
All right, so let's see. I had you click on, all right, so number 18, right next to 18, it said phone abuse. Did you find that?
Yeah, I'm there.
All right, and now you're on, it's going to be letter 2023 underscore 18. You're on page 18 now.
Hang on. Letter underscore. I'm looking down the page here. It says letters. There's multiple letters and pages. Okay.
Oh, okay. So, I'm all right. So, are you on the index?
I'm on the post. I'll go back to the index. Yes.
All right. So it says 2023 index, and then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right. You see the numbers.
Yeah.
It goes down, and then at 18.
Yeah.
There's an 18 A, B, C, D. Well, I want you to click on page 18 where it says phone abuse. Click on page 18 in blue. It says phone abuse. Click on phone abuse.
I'm there.
All right. And that will take you to that page, the phone abuse page.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And now you see the house and the blue line. And so now, at the top of this page, there's an outline, and there's the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then there's like X's. And everything below the X's, I want you to ignore. It's just the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
That's what I want to talk about, all right? So, all right. And I'm just going to try and hit these quickly because I need to go to lunch.
Me too.
All right. So what I want to do is see if you'll feel at least a little bit sorry for me here, and maybe you'll tell me, well, I'm sorry, Medicare doesn't have anything to do with this, and even if I do feel sorry for you, we can't help you with this. And if that's the case, okay, fine. I'll go to lunch and I won't worry about it.
Okay.
But at least I'll have found something that maybe you do care about. It seemed to me like you really didn't care about what we talked about before, that was the problem. Some of these phone calls, I think, were part of what I ran into with the problems I had with the shots, back and forth and around with the shots. So I started kind of at the beginning here with the outline, and the conclusion I came to is I started 2 years ago, 3 years ago, with Kaiser Permanente, and I had problems galore with they would just call me, and I would ask them to quit calling me, and they just simply would not. I changed my phone number, and I asked them to just stop calling my phone number, and they treated my phone number like it belonged to them, and they would not. And I wound up leaving Kaiser Permanente, and I went to United Healthcare. I was with United Healthcare, I think, for either 1 or 2 years, and it was the same story with United Healthcare. And now I'm with Aetna, and I'm having the same problems with them. And the conclusion that I've come to is that the reason they're that way is because there's nothing bad happens to them.
when they mess up. I'll talk to someone, and the person I talk to says, okay, well, I fixed it for you. This won't happen again. And then 3 weeks later, it happens again. And so it begins with what I've got on the page here is data breach. I got a letter from Nations Benefit. If you click on where it says letter there, there's the letter I got from Nations Benefit. It says, gosh, we're sorry. Your information was part of the data breach. And, you know, we did the right things. We told law enforcement about it, and we tightened up our security and blah, blah, blah. There you go. April of this year. Sharon Phillips. There's kind of a long story here. I'm 70 years old. I got a call from her. She shouldn't have called me is the long and short of it. When she called me, she was trying to hunt down the information as part of this vaccine business. And when she called, she wanted me to give her the phone number for King Soopers Pharmacy. I tried to tell her, I'm on the second floor, I'm 70 years old, I've got handicap license plates, I'm going to have to walk down and then up two flights of stairs to give you this phone number. I could tell you how to find it on the internet if you just listen to me, and she wanted nothing to do with that. She seemed to think that there were rules and blah, 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 blah. And so I wound up walking down the stairs and up the stairs to give her a phone number. And, you know, it as a result of the phone call, when it was over with, I called the number on my insurance card and told them I wanted to change my phone number. And I gave them a different phone number. And I said, from now on, when anybody from Aetna wants to call me, I want them to call this different number. Don't call this number ever again. I don't know how Sharon Phillips got my phone number. As far as I was concerned, she shouldn't have called me. The letter that I had sent about the vaccine did not have my phone number on it. She couldn't have gotten it from that letter. She could only have gotten it from my Aetna account. And I don't know what it was that made her think that it would have been all right with me for her to call, but she was wrong about that. It was not all right with me. So I changed my phone number, and I told them I would like for you to erase that phone number from my account and don't call me again. And I sent a letter to back it up. I sent a letter to the president of the company that said, this is to confirm that I've changed my number and I don't want you to call this other number that you had ever again. And so this fellow named Gabriel Doe called me on June 27th. He called me and he talked to me about the vaccine, and he also said, I've actually got two letters from you, one about the vaccine, and I've also got this letter. I wanted to let you know we got this letter changing your phone number and said you didn't want us to call you at this number ever again. And I had asked him what his name was. He wouldn't tell me his name. He said his first name is Gabriel, but he wouldn't tell me his last name. And I had to point out to him, oh, by the way, Gabriel, you called and you told me that you'd received the letter that I had sent that asked that you never call that number again and erased it from my account. And you called the number that I asked that you never call again. And it was almost comical. I wish I had a recording of the call. He started spewing out BS is what he did. What he should have done is said, gosh, I'm sorry.
Hello, my name is Susan.
And he assured me that he'd take care of it and fix it so that nobody ever called me again on that number. He was on the executive response team is what he said. And he'd make sure that it got taken care of and that nobody would from Aetna would call me again. That was June 27th. About a week and a half later, it was a robot, sounded like a robot, said Susan, Signify Health, which is a subsidiary, sort of Aetna, called and left a message for me. Again, called the same number. And then CVS Pharmacy called a couple weeks later. It was a machine. Said they had important information for Phil Rice. Wanted me to the machine wanted me to say the last four digits of the ID number on my insurance card. I was driving my car at the time, and so I hung up. And then a few days after that, I got a call from a woman who said her name was Lee. She wouldn't tell me her last name. I had called CVS Pharmacy two or three times and tried to get across to them that I was unhappy about the fact that I was getting calls. I didn't want them to call me anymore. And so Lee had called and said she was calling. It was like Gabriel Doe all over again, calling to try and see what the problem was about the fact that I was calling to say I didn't want to get called anymore. And of course she called the number that I didn't want to get called on anymore. And so it's 1, 2, 3, 4 bogus calls. I don't know. Do you feel like you're going to be able to do any good about getting them to stop calling me?
Unfortunately, I believe
probably not. Huh?
It's a general issue that we have here with corporations. Okay, the dissemination of some information to subsidiaries and what have you means that they struggle to respond in a timely way to some requests. And unfortunately, they don't necessarily know how to deal with it best. I believe that this person, Gabriel, was calling because you'd sent a letter, okay? And it was somebody who was chartered to respond to letters, okay? Obviously, CVS Caremark is not... Aetna itself, okay, that's the online pharmacy that they use for mail order prescriptions. So it's quite possible that the information just doesn't flow through very well. Okay, and so it's a general issue, okay, it's not directly related to what we do here at SHIP because of the fact that it's not specific to Medicare per se. Sorry, I can't help you any further than that.
All right. I've just got one last question before I go.
Sure.
Can you tell me the name and the mailing address of the person that's in charge there? And by that, I mean maybe the person in charge of Colorado or maybe the Denver section of SHIP, one or the other?
So what I can do is point you to that information on the web, as you've been pointing to me to information, okay? It's there's a website, Okay. And I'll give you the address for the Colorado website. How's that? Would that
I'm looking at it right now. Colorado State Health Assistance Program.
Okay, let me just
contact your state health assistance. That's where I got that this phone number from.
Okay, so that was that right. Okay.
Waterloo, Iowa.
I don't know what you're getting Waterloo, Iowa from. There's different ones. Okay.
Are you telling me you don't know?
I don't have an external number other than the one that you have for SHIP. Okay. I'm just kind of.
I've got about blog, success stories, volunteers, resources for ships.
Right. That's the navigation. Search the site. Okay. There's a telephone number there. The Technical Assistance Center.
It
okay,
says
but that's
call
really...
the 888 number, and that's the number that that I called.
That's right. Okay. That's to get to contact the program.
Are you working from home?
I am.
Yeah. Have you ever gone to a headquarters or anything like that at all?
I have.
Have you had training? Have you gone somewhere for training?
I have done that both in that office and remotely. Yes.
Where did you go for the training? Where is that located?
It's not, I'm just going to see where, I'm trying to answer your response about giving you somebody you can contact with your concerns about SHIP. Okay. So I'm going to try to find the specific one regarding Colorado. Okay. For you. Okay. So that I don't give you the wrong information. So looking at the SHIP Colorado website, which is part of the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies. Okay. And let me see what contact information there is here. Contact information. Okay. SHIP assistance. There are different numbers depending on what kind of assistance you need. Okay, there's also email associated with reporting fraud or other issues with Medicare. Okay. So I'm going to point you now. Are you ready to take down this information?
This I have the pen in hand.
Say again?
I have pen in hand. Go ahead.
Okay. So this is DOI. Period, Colorado, period, gov, / insurance-products, / health-insurance, / senior-health- Medicare.
All right. So I'm going to ask you to say some of that again. I got about half of it. I got doi.colorado.gov / insurance.products
Stop there. Insurance-products.
Right. Insurance-products?
Dash products, yes.
All right. -products/?
Yep. Health-insurance.
Health-insurance?
Yes.
Health-insurance. And then /?
Yep.
And then senior, go on.
Senior-health-care-medical.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. Healthcare-what?
Senior-health-care-medicare.
Medicare. And is that the end?
That's the end of it. That will take you to a website which is part of the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, Division of Insurance. That's what the DOI stands for. So SHIP, that's the mothership, no pun intended, for SHIP. They are part of the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies. Okay, and you'll find all of the access information available there. Okay.
All right.
If you'd like to go there right now, I can help you with any questions you might have about that page.
All right, hold on. So is it
You don't need to put that information into your web browser. You just start.
With DOI. Is that right?
I start there, right? It's unnecessary.
Okay. All right. So let me type it all in. It's kind of a mouthful. Let me do that.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens here. Yeah, it's a page not found. Now, I probably need to go back and do capital letters. It's probably case sensitive.
It is not case sensitive. Okay.
It's not case sensitive. Let me read it to you.
Maybe I can. Why don't we start from Googling SHIP, and I can take you from there just by clicking on what comes up.
I don't have the patience to do this. Let me read it to you, and
okay.
You tell me where I got it wrong. If it's not case sensitive,
I think
no,
maybe it is, but let me read it to you. I've got doi.gov/insurance/health/health/insurance/.
All right. Health-insurance.
Health-insurance. All right, so let me change
right.
that. It's almost inevitable that I would have made a typo somewhere in there. So I've got health-insurance/senior/health-care/Medicare.
/Medicare/Medicare.
All right. Let's try that. Still says page not found. Let me try one more time.
We've got Medicare. Okay.
Let me try one more time. Start at the beginning. DOI dot Colorado dot GOV /insurance/products/health/insurance/senior/health/care/Medicare.
Dash assistance.
Oh, there's more?
Yep. After Medicare, dash assistance. Oh, hold on. I've gone to another page. Let me just back up. So, I apologize. I misspoke. Okay. It is, the end of it is senior-health-care-Medicare.
All right, so say it again. Senior what? Senior?
The last part, after the last forward slash, which is behind insurance, it says senior-health-care-Medicare.
Oh. All right, so after the insurance slash, senior-health-care-Medicare. Is that right?
Correct. Yep.
All right. Let me try that. All right. That worked.
Okay. That's the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies site specifically for senior health care and medical assistance, which is the Colorado SHIP. And the other thing is SMP is the Senior Medicare Patrol. Okay, that one is specific to things like fraud with Medicare. You can read all about it there. Okay, and it provides...
Yeah, all right, but as far as I know, this is not going to tell me the name of the president.
It won't, and I don't have it either, so...
Would you know how to find out if you decided to make it your mission to find out the name of the president, how would you go about it? Do you have a boss that you could call?
I do have a boss, but what I would suggest
And your boss could call his boss, and then that boss could call their boss. Eventually, you'd get to a president, right?
Right. Unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to give them a useful information about why I needed that information.
Are you saying that the name of the president would be a secret? It'd be confidential. That it would only be on a need to know basis. That I could only know the name of the president if I had a reason. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think what I'm giving you is the direct contact information to get that. The bottom of that page, under contact information, it gives you the address. Okay, and it gives you the phone numbers and an email connection Okay. That would, I would call that number. Or
oh, yeah, there you go. Division of Insurance. And I do have somewhere the name of somebody that's like the head of the Division of Insurance. Is that what SHIP is? Is SHIP part of the Division of Insurance?
That's correct.
That may be all I need to know.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably all I need to know. Heck, if I'd known that's probably what I needed to know right from the very beginning. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Good. That answers my question then. That's a good answer to my question. So, good for that. And,
I'm glad I was able to answer that question.
And after all I went through, to get to this web page, I'm going to put a bookmark on this page, so I'll be able to get back to here ever again if I need to. So thanks for that too. Thanks.
Right,
I'm going to go to eat lunch.
I'm sorry I wasn't able to give you any additional or useful information regarding.
Listen, I want
problem.
You to think of this as an insult. This is intended to be an insult. You came across as an advocate for the other side. You're 100% an advocate for the other side. You're not an advocate for me at all. You took the other side and did a great job for arguing for the other side. So if that's what you intended to do, you did great, and maybe that's what was called for. Maybe that's what I deserved. If that's what you thought I deserved, then you did a great job for that.
It's not a matter of taking sides, Phil. It's a matter of trying to interpret the situation.
Correctly,
and. If there's any possibility of addressing a concern, to do so. But in the cases where that's not possible, then we need to try and take a realistic approach.
Okay, there you go. And thanks for being patient with me. You did do that, and I do give you credit for that.
Thank you.
And
I wish you a good weekend, and I
do want to say this too. I do appreciate the fact that you're a volunteer. I'm not getting paid for this either, and believe it or not, nearly all of what I'm doing, there's a lot more going on here than what you see. It really is public service is what I would think of it as. It's really not intended for anything more than I see the pharmacy infrastructure as being in bad state of disrepair. It needs help, I think Aetna needs help as well. I don't doubt for a minute that they do provide a service, and putting them out of business is not the right thing to do. Same thing with Kaiser. They do provide a service, and putting them out of business is not the right thing to do. Something needs to happen. They need to straighten their act out, and what you're doing is not helping. So I'll press on, and we'll go from there.
Okie doke.
All right. Thanks. Bye now.
Have a good weekend. Be safe.